Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
We're trying to mobilize you to go out there and have the ambulance. And when dispatch calls and says, speak to the person at the gas station, you say, yes, sir, thank you, sir. You don't turn your radio off and turn your ambulance into a camper.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Bummer. I don't know if this is still a word. When I was a kid, something didn't go well, something's supposed to happen, we're supposed to go to the zoo, whatever came up, and we can't go anymore. Bummer. But there's actually a different kind of bummer out there. There's such a thing as a bummer lamb. So a bummer lamb is a lamb that has been rejected or abandoned by the mother. Usually after birth, this can happen for several reasons. The mother has too many lambs to care for, might have triplets. The lamb is weak or sickly. The ewe mother sheep dies during birth. The mother simply rejects it. So why is it called a bummer lamb? The term bummer in this context comes from the old shepherding slang. It refers to a lamb that has to quote-unquote bum or beg milk and affection because its own mother won't provide it. So it's literally a lamb that bums milk from someone else like the shepherd. So turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. So while you're turning there, let me just finish this up. So what happens to bummer lambs? In real life, if a shepherd doesn't intervene, the lamb will likely die. But a good shepherd will take it in, bottle feed it several times a day, keep it warm and safe, sometimes even let it sleep inside their home. Because of this intense care, bummer lambs often develop a strong bond with the shepherd. They recognize their voice and follow them closely more than the other sheep. So is it possible to be a bummer lamb as a human being? Let me read you a little story here to 2 Samuel chapter 12. So the background on this, if you've ever heard of King David was a great guy, did everything the Bible says right in the eyes of the Lord, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And this story picks up where he had taken Bathsheba, slept with her, got her pregnant, tried to get her husband Uriah to come back from the battlefield, sleep with her, make it look like it was his kid. Just a complete fiasco. And so David has not fessed up to this sin yet. And the prophet comes to him, Nathan, verse 1, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, and the reason I'm telling you this story is not because we're going to chase David and his life, is that David was a shepherd. David knew all about bummer lambs. He knew about sheep, and that sheep are gentle but also vulnerable, not very smart, and prone to wander. But he gets sheep. That was what he was as a young man. So here's the story that Nathan the prophet gives David to kind of give him a category for what he had done and confront him with his sin. There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. So David's hearing this story, and as the king, he's thinking, okay, where did this happen? He's furious. He is about to do something because he understands this lamb, this family, this person had bought this lamb and cared for it so personally, almost like a pet. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. The story is about you, David. Now, Nathan used this story about a person caring for a sheep. caring for a lamb. So you say, well, where are you going with this? Sometimes people get upset with Jesus' family, and then they think they're upset with Jesus, and it's really not Jesus they're upset with. You could be upset with Jesus, but sometimes his family, his bride, as the Bible describes the church, sometimes we don't do such a great job taking care of bummer lambs. And if you're one of these people that's been out there and wounded by the church and just totally discouraged by this, and I'd come across a ton of people like this. We got people like this sitting somewhere listening, watching this, and they're like, I'm not going back to church. I'm not going back to a place that's called a church because the people of the church have hurt me, have wounded me, have done something to me. I would just encourage you not to give up on the bride. Jesus' family, his church, is not perfect, and we do screw up. But it is the vehicle, the mechanism, the gathering of people that he has chosen to try to do what he wants done in the world. And eventually, if you follow Jesus, he will lead you to a body of believers. That's just what's supposed to happen. And what is supposed to happen there is even if you feel like you've been rejected, pushed away, set aside, driven out, whatever's happened to you, when he finds you and takes you to himself, that is not how you're going to end up feeling. Psalm 23, verse 1. I'm not going to read you the whole 23rd Psalm. Used to be people could quote this, not so much anymore. You have to be over a certain age, basically, to even know what this is or quote it for sure. But just the first line here, and remember, God is writing scripture through David, a shepherd boy, a grown man now, and this is the first phrase that comes out. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You say, well, what does that mean? He knew what it meant to be a shepherd, and he knew that he needed a shepherd, and he knew that he had a shepherd, and his shepherd was the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is your shepherd? It better be the Lord or you're in trouble. Because if Jesus is not your shepherd, you're going to end up in want. You're going to end up lacking. Something is going to be missing. And if you read the rest of 23rd Psalm, this shepherd takes care of his sheep. He cares for his sheep. And I'll read you verses where even a shepherd's willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And David was one of those. He fought off lions and bears. Like, what are you doing, dude? You're trying to protect animals from wild animals for the sake of what? You're going to get killed yourself. You're going to get hurt. You say, well, who would lay their life down like that for an animal, for a sheep? I don't know. Why would Jesus lay his life down for me? It's very bizarre because he not only knows what I've done, he knew what I was going to do before I was born, and he knows what I'm going to do still the rest of my life. And yet, before the foundation of the world, this Lamb of God was slain. The decision was made that he would die on a cross, be buried, and raised from the dead to reach me and to reach you and anybody out there listening and watching. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And I'm not going to read you this whole chapter, but I highly recommend going back and reading this whole thing. God unleashes the kraken on these people, the shepherds specifically, through Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You're taking care of you, but not the sheep. So I'm reading this to highlight Jesus is not this kind of shepherd. He is not thinking about himself. If he had been thinking about himself, he never would have come down here. You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. So the second time, you're not feeding the flock. You're not taking care of the sheep I entrusted you with. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken. And then look at this next phrase. Nor brought back what was driven out, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Nobody cared. Nobody was looking for them. So what are we about as a church? This is a search and rescue. That's what this is about. Yes, we're going to take care of each other. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. We're going to make sure that everybody in our body is okay as much as possible. But the purpose for us still being on the planet is, yes, to gather and learn and grow, but to grow for what? What are elders of a church supposed to be doing? My job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So if we are not doing the work of the ministry, then we as elders are failing in what we're supposed to be doing. We're trying to mobilize you to go out there and have the ambulance. And when dispatch calls and says, speak to the person at the gas station, you say, yes, sir, thank you, sir. You don't turn your radio off and turn your ambulance into a camper. Oh, there's a bed in here, and we could get this junk out of here, and we can just go out in the woods and plug this in and turn the radio off. We'll just gut this thing and turn it into something for me. You're bought with a price. You don't own you. Right? You say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, let me tell you something. He's going to love you anyway, but he's going to turn the dial. You say, what does that mean? You claim to be his child. If you're a disobedient child, what do you think a real dad, a real father, a real shepherd is going to do? 23rd Psalm, your rod and staff, they comfort me. The fact that you have a rod and a staff can be used on something trying to hurt me, but can also be used on me to get me in line. And as I've said through the years, sometimes you got to say uncle before you say father. I yield. I'm out. I'm done. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to use my life. Go down to verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. So what does Jesus do? Comes down here and says, here we go. Seeking to save that which was lost. Now, part of this search and rescue is very messy. And if we're allowing Jesus to live in and through us, it's going to be even messier. Because nice religious church people want to go find nice religious church people. Oh, you look like me. You're nice like me. You don't have problems like me, or at least you don't know my problems. Why don't you come to our church? Because we don't want people that are not like us. What? Yeah, and then you look around and go, yeah, we just got this wonderful, beautiful church. It's called homogeneity. We're like kind gather. We're all the same. We all live in the same zip code. We all have money. We all drive the same cars. Our kids go to school, and we don't have to deal with the riffraff. Have you ever considered the fact that maybe you are the riffraff? And this happens at all levels. Poor black church. Oh, we're poor and we're black, and this is what we go after. And then somebody walks in and doesn't look like that. You go, oh, you don't belong. You're out. Or rich Hispanic, or just pick any category you want. It's supposed to be a melting pot family of whosoever will may come. Because supposedly that's what heaven's going to be like without the subdivisions. You think you're going to live in some gated community in heaven away from the riffraff? They may put you in a gated community to keep you away from the rest of the people. It's not going to happen. Like, what are we doing? This is supposed to be like you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, here we go. Radio on. I can hear you. Check, check, check. Yeah, we're on. Talking. Yeah, I don't need anything. You go out in your day and say, Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? In the middle of all my brother's challenges, he was going out into the country, had his wife and the nurse loaded up, car loaded. She's not doing well. And he's got a car that is very reliable. And all of a sudden, his monitor, his tire monitor goes off. And he is screwed because he has a screw in his tire. It's dropping, going down. And he is praying the whole time and said, he's like, Lord, where do you want me to stop? Came up on an exit. Holy Spirit said, no, do not stop there. I got a flat tire. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. You got to get where you can hear his voice or you're going to miss your life. Yes, so he knows where God is telling him to stop. He makes it there, pulls in, and it turns out there's a kid who had been abandoned. It was living with his grandfather, and this kid is extraordinary. Teenage kid, Johnson somehow shares what's going on with his wife. This kid goes over the car, puts his hand through the window on my brother's wife, and prays for her. And you're like, what the heck is going on? And before you know it, Johnson's down on one knee praying for this kid. The grandfather's a godly man. Just boom, this crazy story. Like, why would God let him, in the midst of all his trials, a screw? Why did he get screwed on the way? You know, he doesn't need more trouble. But when you trust God, you go, look, he's not randomly doing or letting things happen. Stop complaining. When you complain, you make it all about you. Like God's not even aware of who you are and where you are. Stop complaining. Trust him. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what the book says. And when you stop complaining, you start thinking for even horrible stuff. Your radar's running. Then you don't miss opportunities. It was not that my brother went there so much to bless them. He went there because God used them to bless him. We're so busy thinking, well, if I surrender to God, it's going to cost me something. What if God is trying to use other people to bless you and you're missing out on that because you won't engage? You say, well, why do you go at this so hard? Because you only got so many days, weeks, months, years left. And then you're going to drop dead and you're going to stand before Jesus if you're a Christian, and the fire's going to hit your life and you're going to go, oh crap, that's it? That's all I got left? Yeah, you're coming in, but this is what you had for your life. Well, why is that? Because you wouldn't listen. Because you had warning after warning after warning to let me have your life, and you would not yield, and you did what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it, and this is what you have to show for. Yes, you're going to make heaven, but you have nothing to show for your life except that you let me save you. You wouldn't yield. Man, I don't want to have that conversation. I'm trying to fireproof everything I possibly can, because I'm going to be standing there looking at him while my life is consumed. Whatever I've lost is consumed. And I go, no, 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 not. And it says in those verses, and they will suffer loss. I don't want to suffer loss in his presence. So I'm not going to leave you alone. That won't help you, because that day's coming. And you can go somewhere else and they'll tell you nice things. Oh, God bless you. It's all going to be okay. No, it's not. It's not all going to be okay. Luke 15. I've always wondered this, and I think I finally got an answer for this. Luke 15, three stories. Well, read verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. Okay, so this is his primary crowd. Tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. So they wanted to hear what Jesus said. They didn't care what the Pharisees and scribes had to say, because they didn't say anything. They just would put rules on people that they didn't even keep themselves. They had nothing. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Oh my gosh, that we would be accused of that. So he tells three stories. The first story is about a shepherd. The second is about a lady who has a headdress and loses a coin. So it's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. In the first one, verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So in the first story, lost sheep, leave the 99, they're going to be okay until he gets back. Go get the one. He goes after one. Second story, she loses a coin, sweeps the house, throws a party. The third story, the son leaves and the dad never goes looking for him. I thought this was about being lost and found. What's the difference? The sheep in the first story represents those who are lost unintentionally. Maybe no fault of their own, they didn't know better, and they wandered off and just did what dumb sheep do. The son left willfully, and God respects your will. He will not violate your will and force you to do anything. Now, he'll let you get to a point where you wish you had never left home, and you'll come home, hopefully. You say, well, why didn't God go looking for his son in that story? Why did he not go look for the younger brother? Because the brother had to decide to come home. So don't misunderstand, say, well, God's not out here looking for me. He is waiting for you, as it says about the younger son. And when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And he arose and went to his father. So some of you in this room, some of you listening, watching somewhere, you say, well, I'm way out here. It's possible that you are unintentionally, you just got caught up and you're a sinner and you just got sucked in. It wasn't like you said, oh, you know, F you, God, and I'm out. You're just out there. So what you're hearing, if you're not in the room, or even if you're in the room, the place that we are meeting, but if you're hearing or watching somewhere, even this is an attempt to reach you. We spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort putting a camera in the back of this room, recording these things, editing these things, to put it on a station, to put it on all these websites. What are we doing? We are trying to reach you where you are. And miraculously, you hit a button or whatever, and now you're listening. And now you're saying, wait, he's talking to me about me. Exactly. Get you some Jesus. You say, well, I don't know where he is. He's right there. If you're a Christian, he's already in you. You just need to say, Lord, I'm tired. He says, come unto me, all your burden and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Okay, there's your answer. You say, well, I'm not a Christian. Then he's right there. Just say, okay, so you're not against me. You're for me. Yes. But what about my sin? Already paid for that. You just got to receive the payment and let me in. You say, well, this is crazy stuff. That's not, you got to do something. The doing already got done by Jesus. He did the doing. You want something? We got to do something? He did something. He left his throne in heaven, came down here, born of a virgin, lives a sinless life, dies on a cross, shed his blood, buried, raised from the dead to save you. So something has been done. He gave his life to make this thing a gift. And now he presents it to you and says, okay, here, it's a gift. You say, well, what do you do if he offers you a gift? What do you do when someone offers you a gift? You either say thank you and take it, or you say no thank you. But if you die and end up in hell because you said no thank you and didn't take it, that's not his fault. That's on you. So don't be saying nobody never told me. Now you can't say that anymore. And then you say, well, you get all emotional and you're sweating and you're all wound up about this. Yeah, because there's nothing at stake here but your life. That's all. That's it. Why would we be all stirred up about that? And why am I more stirred up about your life than you are? Because I know where this ends up. Somebody, it may have been somebody here, sent me this link to some thing on wherever it was, social media, and I had heard this story but forgotten. I can't even remember the guy's name, John somebody. Titanic is sinking. This guy is swimming through the water. His wife is already drowned. He's gotten his kids in a boat somehow, and he's swimming around trying to share the gospel with people. And he comes up on a guy, and he says, are you a Christian? And he says, no. And he takes his life jacket off, gives it to that guy, and drowns. And at the 5-year reunion of survivors of Titanic, that guy stands up and says, I was John so-and-so's last convert. Who's going to be your last convert? Better yet, who's going to be your first convert? And I'm tired of people saying, oh, you have some gift. Yeah, I have the gift of listening and obeying. That's what I have the gift of. And try not to live my life looking at everybody like, to hell with you, to hell with you, to hell with you. We thought, well, I'm not doing that. Well, you're not engaged in caring about anyone's life. And the Holy Spirit speaks to you, says, no, he doesn't. Yes, he does. You just don't want to do what he's telling you to do. Get out of the way and let him live not just in you, but through you. Can't imagine what will happen. Next thing you know, you got somebody in your arms, you're caring for them, you're loving on them, you're treating them like they should be treated. You're letting Jesus be Jesus in and through you, and their life changes as a result of it. And yeah, it's going to cost you something, but it's going to cost you way more if you don't. John chapter 10, verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You can't come up with anything of that. Jesus gave his life for the sheep. He died. Go down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Simple stuff. But look at this sequence. My sheep hear my voice. So if you're his sheep, you're his child, you hear his voice. If you hear his voice, then he says, I know them. If you hear his voice and he claims to know you, then what happens after that? They follow me. If you are not following him, back yourself into it and say, what has gone wrong?
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in, or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
So Sheila Walsh is a singer, and she did a piece on her website about this, and I'm just going to quote her and read this. I've learned much about Jesus' tender care of his flock by studying sheep, especially those that shepherds call bummer lambs. Bummer lambs have, for one reason or another, been rejected by their mothers. If, for instance, a ewe has triplets or only enough milk for two, she will turn away the third. Old or sick, she may reject a lamb. To preserve the lives of those unwanted bummer lambs, the shepherd has to take the lamb into his home and bottle feed it. Hold the lamb to keep it warm and so that it can hear a heartbeat. When the lamb is strong enough to return to the flock, the shepherd takes it there. And in the morning or at the end of the day, from then on, when the shepherd calls to the sheep, the first ones to run to him are the bummer lambs because they know his voice. When my life fell apart as I struggled with depression, I thought my life was over. I had no idea then that any kind of gift could come from brokenness. But Jesus is close to us when we are broken. He carries us for as long as we need him to.
It's not that he loves the bummer lambs more than the stronger ones. It's just that we bummer lambs experience his tender love in a very personal way that makes us ever so confident in his great love for us.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.